everybody, and welcome back. It is Thursday, May the 13th, 2021, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I am happy to be with you this morning. I apologize for my absence yesterday. I was up all night coughing. I was again last night, too, but I feel a lot better than I did yesterday when I woke up. Nevertheless, it's good to be here with you. And also, I want to thank you all. I've read the comments that you all posted yesterday when I said that I couldn't be there. Thank you for your prayers, your kind consideration. Really, y'all are such a blessing to me. I'm happy to be back with you today, but I've got some news as far as daily devotionals go. I will be getting out of town this coming Sunday afternoon. And given how I'm feeling right now, I kind of need to take some time to recover. So we will not be here tomorrow, and we won't be here next week or the next week. This is what's going on, y'all. This summer is going to be very, very busy for me. I have been honored by being elected moderator of the General Synod of the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church. That's the guy that runs the meetings, is a member of every committee, appoints committees, does all that kind of business. And so June is going to be very busy for me. July is going to be very busy for me as well. So we are taking a break from daily devotionals. Now, let me be clear. This is just a break. It is not a permanent end or anything like that. In fact, it is my plan to return back. Let's see, where is the date there? August the 9th. Now, I know that's a big jump. Originally, I had planned for June and July and then August, but I've got a beach trip with the youth group at the beginning of August, and I'm going to be gone for the better part of the next 2 weeks. So rather than being gone for that amount of time and then coming back for 2 days or 3 days or whatever it is and then vanishing again, today is the last day for daily devotionals until August the 9th. Okay. Again, thank you everybody for your support and for your faithfulness. I know so many of y'all watch these, and I can't tell you how much of an encouragement it is to me. The summertime is a very, very busy time for me, and I'm going to be out of town quite a bit, and so we need to take this break. But this is not a break like men and women take, it's just a break, and then it's never coming back. Lord willing, August the 9th, we'll be back. But it's also appropriate that we end today, or we start our break today, because of where we come to in our series on Romans. And by the way, don't worry, when we come back on August the 9th, that's a Monday, it's my plan to pick right up where we left off. But it's appropriate to end at this point in our study because of where we come to, particularly Romans chapter 12. It starts with therefore. Now, if you all have been part of daily devotionals for a while, and I think this is daily devotional number 233, or at least that's what it is on sermonaudio.com. It may even be more than that before I started uploading them to Sermon Audio. I don't know. But at least daily devotional number 233, you've probably heard me say quite a few times that when you come to a therefore, you need to stop and ask what the therefore is there for, right? And so the therefore here in Romans chapter 12 is given. We start with therefore in light of the doxology, the praise that was just lifted up to God that we covered yesterday at the end of Romans 11, yes, but also in light of this section of Romans from chapter 9 through chapter 11 that talks about the sovereign mercy of God. Y'all, I know that we've talked about some difficult things here, things that challenge our natural perception of the way things are, or at least the way things we think, or the way we think things are, the way we think things ought to be. We're very attached to the concept of the free will as Americans, I think, more than other people groups, because we enjoy our freedom and may liberty reign. The King Jesus reign and let liberty guide us. But nevertheless, really, we make too much of this free will that we have. And so as a result, our natural theology is not to accept the teachings of Romans 9 through 11. And in fact, a lot of churches reject this theology and claim that it's false. However, this is not about a theological system. It's about just listening to what Paul has written here, that salvation doesn't depend on man's desire or effort. Read Romans 9. I'm not making this up. Salvation doesn't depend on man's desire or effort, but instead on God, because God is the one who chooses to show mercy. And this brings up all sorts of questions and all sorts of ways that we can complicate this. But if we abide by the principle that where God closes his holy mouth, I shall desist from inquiry, if we apply that principle to this concept of salvation, and if along with it, we apply the principle that God is God, and if God is all-knowing and all-powerful and all-present, then the only way that our salvation could be worked out is through God's power alone. So if you take these things and you add them up, what do we do with this? I mean, really, this powerful teaching on the sovereignty of God, that God chose you before the foundation of the world was ever laid down, that you're saved not by how hard you work, but instead, you're saved by mercy alone. What do we do with this? Well, interestingly enough, that's where chapter 12 comes in. It says, therefore, in other words, in light of all of these things, you'll notice what Paul doesn't say here. He doesn't say that you need to come up with some system here. He doesn't say that you need to write down this philosophy or anything like, no. In light of God's mercy, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, this is Romans 12, 1, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And then he says, this is your spiritual act of worship. So in other words, in light of the grace that we have experienced, in light of the mercy that God has shown us, what is our response? What should our response be? It's really rather simple, y'all. To live lives that are pleasing to God. That's it. Now, how do you know if you're living a life pleasing to God? It just so happens that in his word, God has revealed that which is pleasing to him. This only makes sense, doesn't it? Whether it's Jesus' words when he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Whether it's later when we find out that you will be able to know the people of God by their fruit. Or if it's in 1 John that we've been going through on Sunday mornings. The children of the light belong to the Lord. Those walking in darkness don't belong to the Lord. It's the simple teaching, the simple idea that if you know Jesus, you'll know how wonderful he is. And you'll strive to be like him. And what Paul says here is, in light of your salvation, in light of all that God has done for you, your number one priority is your spiritual act of worship. Now, worship is fascinating. People argue over this thing all the time. What's the best way to worship? How do we? There's arguments about corporate worship within the bounds of the bounds of the church and that sort of thing. But what Paul lays out here is this idea of spiritual worship. Y'all, worship is not reserved for Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Worship is supposed to be a daily activity. And what Paul says here is, it's not a matter of what you think. It's not a matter of what you feel. Your spiritual worship comes down to what you do. Now realize this. He's not saying that by worship you work your way to heaven. He doesn't say that. He said, look, you've been saved, all right? He's saying in light of the mercy that's been shown to you, what do you do now? So the issue is not saving yourself. What do you do in light of belonging to God? The answer is live a life that's pleasing to him. And in so doing, that is how you will thank the Lord. That is how you will worship God. Because, y'all, what it comes down to is talk is cheap. And to that end, we are given instruction. And with this in mind, this is what I had in mind when I said it's a fitting time for us to take a break, because there are two paths presented here. Verse 2, it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There are two realities pointed to here in Romans 12:2. One is being transformed, the other is being conformed to the pattern of the world. And what is the pattern of the world around you? I don't know if you take the time to consider that. I would encourage you to, because if you're not taking the time to consider the pattern of the world, you might be in it. And aside from that, you might grow to appreciate the world far too much or cling to the world far too much. Guilty as charged, because I think we all face that temptation. But instead, when focusing on the pattern of the world, what is it that you see? I would encourage you to consider what the scripture says about us apart from Christ, that we're dead in our transgressions. We talked about this Sunday, that we have eyes that are blind, we have ears that can't hear, we're stuck in ignorance, we're slaves to sin. And by the way, look at the world around you and do some simple deduction. The world constantly pledges that it has things figured out. If everybody would just hop on board, fill in the blank train right now, save the whales, save the environment, anti-fascism, pro whatever. I mean, y'all, it's always something new. And the pattern of this world points to one, if I could pick one word, the pattern of this world points to emptiness. Promises that aren't fulfilled, satisfaction that's never achieved, products that are always faulty. Again, the idea of promises that are made but always broken. There is a yearning in the world around you. I don't know if you've seen that. I believe that's why things are becoming increasingly more violent and volatile. There is a yearning to make things right, there's a yearning to fix stuff. Yet at the same time, there is a yearning to destroy. I think one of the things that we're seeing right now is that a generation that has built nothing wants to destroy everything. That is the pattern of the world around you. And what Paul presents here is two paths. You will either conform to that pattern rooted in selfishness, that pattern rooted in wondering and wandering and being lost. You will either conform to that pattern or you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's it. One of two paths. Which one will it be? If you want to conform to the pattern of this world, completely disregard verse one. The whole idea of presenting your body as a living sacrifice, you just do you if you want to conform to the pattern of this world. But if you want to be transformed, how do you do it? Well, see, that's one of the issues that we face. You and I don't transform ourselves. We're not in the business of changing who we are. Only God can change us. But we do have a hint here, and that is that you will either conform to the pattern of this world or you will be transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. A challenge is offered here, and an opportunity and a privilege. It's laid out by Paul to encourage us to make sure that we focus on how we care for our minds, the information that we put out, those that we listen to, the things that we fill them with. And y'all, this is not just about morality. This is about perspective. This is about viewpoint on life. If you want to renew your mind, start in God's word and finish in God's word. Because if your mind needs to be renewed, it will not be renewed by anything that is present in the world around you. That's part of the pattern of this world. It's bankrupt. That's why it just blows my mind when Christians get involved in so many different causes. And not that it's wrong to be involved in justice. I'm not saying that. But when Christians seek fulfillment in these things and they're coming from the world, and we know the pattern of the world is bankrupt, instead, start and finish with God's word. Spend time with the Lord in prayer. If you're not a regular part of a Bible-believing church, you need to be, right? These are ordinary means of grace, the way in which God ordinarily gives us the grace that we need to make it through life. This is how the mind is renewed. And a promise is given with this. It says, then, second part of verse 12, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Y'all, how much of life is spent wondering? How much of life is spent trying to find yourself or figure out what you're supposed to do in life? This is not a magical issue here. All right, this is not some secret equation. There is no secret path that you have to wander down. There is no guru somewhere on a mountainside to tell you these things. If you want to know what God's will is, there's only one way, and it's through renewing your mind, through trusting in Him, through following Him. No secret stuff. No book that you can get in two easy payments of $19.95. No anointed cloth, nothing like that. Renew your mind through focusing on the scripture. Y'all, that's kind of been a theme, hasn't it? This is where we're done for the day. And this is where we'll pick up next time on August the 9th when we come back together. But this has been a theme, I think, of these daily devotionals. You know, I got started out right before Easter 2 years ago. Well, no, a year ago, 2020. My, how time flies in quarantine. But after Easter, we talked about how to study God's word. Then we talked about how to pray. And in this break that we have, from time to time, I'll post some of the older devotionals for your pleasure. They're reruns, but I think they're still good stuff. I don't remember them, so you probably don't either. But nevertheless, a theme of what we've been doing is the preeminence of God's word, the importance of God's word in your life. As a follower of Christ, we are commanded to be people of God's word. And here, as we have seen, God's word is an integral part of us understanding how we fit into life and where we go and what we do and how we behave. God's word is key. So as we go into this break over summertime, I want to encourage you. Keep these words in your mind and close to your heart. View every day as an opportunity to spend time with the Lord, to spend time in His Word, and to have your mind renewed. And if you'll do that, you'll be amazed at what the Lord will do in your heart, how He will draw you to Himself through His Word, in prayer, being a regular part of a Bible-believing church. So, with these things in mind, we wrap up our daily devotionals. Now, let me pray, and then I've got another announcement. Father, we thank You for this time that You've given to us. I thank You for everybody that has been so faithful in these things. And I pray for this time ahead, this break, that it would be useful, that it would be replenishing, and that we would come back together in August, all of us, and even more, dedicated to studying Your word. Please give us safety and protection. Watch over us in the midst of the pandemic and all other things as well. Thank You, Father, for the gift of Your word. Thank You that You renew our minds. Help us to be people of Your word. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, again, I'd like to thank everybody for being a part of this time. If you're on sermon audio, you're hearing this a little bit later. Let me say this. We're not having daily devotionals again until August the 9th, but we will still be streaming our Sunday morning worship services, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. So I would encourage everybody that's here on Facebook to allow for notifications. You can go to our Facebook page and follow us. And then whenever we post something, it will pop up. You'll get a notification for that. From time to time, I'll post old daily devotionals for your viewing pleasure. But again, we will still keep live streaming our 9 a.m. worship service on Sundays. So with those things in mind, thank you again so much for your perseverance with me, your faithfulness, and may the Lord bless and keep all of you. Have a great day.